These days, we're all looking for ways to find peace and comfort. Recently, a friend said to me, "I'm praying really hard." Well, that really touched my heart. And later, I thought, I bet a lot of Americans are praying really hard right now. More than likely, that prayer to God is some form of this. Help. Help. Because this is how we traditionally pray. Traditionally, prayer is about asking and possibly even begging God to help us. The examples of traditional prayer are, "God, please heal my friend. God, please let me get this job." Or, "God, please stop the violence." It's certainly all right to pray this way if you so choose. But it's important to recognize that this kind of prayer puts the power outside of us rather than within us. It reduces us to what Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore called helpless beggars who are hoping and waiting for a God out there to make things better. Well, fortunately, there is another kind of prayer that empowers rather than disempowers us. This is the kind of prayer we teach in Unity, and it's based on the teachings of Jesus. And this prayer is not about trying to change God, but rather to change ourselves. It's not about trying to influence God to give us our wish or, you know, bring us the pony or whatever. Not about trying to cajole God for what we want. It's about shifting our own thinking to realize the power within us. And so essentially it trades this prayer of help to an affirmation of this. I am the power and presence of God. You see, this kind of prayer is predicated on a different concept of God. This is what we teach in Unity. We don't see God as a super being that is separate from us, out there making all the decisions. Rather, we see God not as a being, but as beingness. That God is this amazing presence and energy and substance that permeates all of life. It is within us. It is all around us, nearer than hands and feet. And so when we pray, we don't send our prayer out into the ethers for some external God to hopefully hear and answer. Rather, when we pray, we turn within to connect with the source, with the divine within us, really to remember who we most truly and deeply are. And so prayer is not about trying to get something that we don't have. It's about tapping into something we already are. And essentially, it's about lifting our consciousness to that realization. I love this idea that the purpose of prayer is to lift our consciousness. Because think about it, then, if you ask someone to pray for you, you're really saying, or pray with you, you're saying, "Would you lift my consciousness about this?" Or if you're praying for others, you're really saying, "I will lift you up in consciousness." And when we find ourselves sort of seeking out prayer time, we're really seeking a consciousness lift. That's what we most want and need. Is that not completely true right now? And of course, this is exactly what Jesus taught. His whole ministry was about shifting consciousness, helping us wake up to the truth of the power within us, to really deeply know and activate the truth that we are one with God and we are one with each other. Everything is connected. And when Jesus would pray, he did it in the most beautiful way to sort of rekindle the sense of connection with the divine essence of who he was, and he demonstrated it for us to follow. It was a prayer of direct and intimate communion with God. And in Matthew 6:6, he said this. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. He was teaching about the silence, the inner place of the Most High, where we connect to God in us. We close the door on our outer concerns and activities so that we can turn within, so that we can be still and know that I am God. You know, in that sacred stillness, we discover the power within us. We realize that we are powerful beyond measure. As Jesus said, we're the light of the world. And when we have that realization, our view of ourselves, of each other, and all of life changes. You know, this idea that prayer is really about lifting consciousness tells us that whether we realize it or not, we pray quite a lot. Now, sometimes we don't realize all the ways we're praying, but think of all the ways that you, through daily practices, lift your own consciousness. In their wonderful booklet, Come Apart for a While, Unity ministers Robert and Janet Ellsworth describe some of the ways we essentially pray without realizing it. We're doing that when we, for example, repeat an uplifting quote or verse or saying, when we feel gratitude for a meal, we praise God for the beauty all around us, when we give thanks for the blessings in our lives, when we use affirmations such as, I am lovable and worthy, I am enough, you are enough, when we sing inspiring songs, when we disrupt our own negative self-talk, at least we catch ourselves, right? Say, stop telling yourself that stuff. When we look for the good, even in difficult situations, when we speak words of love and caring, when we surround others in light and love, when we visualize others as healed and whole and happy, peaceful. When we sense the presence of Spirit, as I do every time I walk in this building. When we find spiritual meaning in so-called coincidences, find the sacred in everyday life. Just walking in today, look at those beautiful flowers the green team planted out there. Oh, man, beautiful. And anytime we enter the silence or practice meditation, these are all essentially consciousness lifters. They are essentially ways of praying. You know, a lot of times people think that you need some kind of special training to pray, to know how to pray. But really all you need is a sincere desire to connect with the presence of God within you. That's all. To see things differently, to shift your awareness. And one of the surest ways of doing that is by doing what Jesus did. Go apart for a while. Whether physically or in your own mind, go apart for a while. Open yourselves to the divine connection. Last weekend, I was up in New York City visiting my daughter, Emily, and her family, and of course, my perfect granddaughter, Maya. It's 4 months old now. And one day I went apart, essentially, for a while. I took Maya out for a walk in the park. And when I got out there, of course, she quickly fell asleep in the stroller. I had some lullabies playing on my phone for her. But when I stepped out there, I felt like all my senses were just turned to the outside. And suddenly I was just noticing the immense beauty around me. Not only the physical beauty, but the beauty of the people, the friends walking and talking with one another, the families celebrating, the teenagers yelling and throwing frisbees and having a great time, the great diversity of humanity, all of this just teeming with beautiful, sweet life. Wow, it was like an explosion of consciousness. And I thought to myself, this is how the universe wants to love us, if we're just willing to see it. And let it in. It's completely changed my frame of reference and my point of view. Now you may be saying, well, I get that. I get that idea. It's really nice. You could go to the park. I'm too busy. I don't have time for that kind of thing. I have a very full schedule. Here's the truth. If you're too busy to go apart for a while, you need it more than ever. You need it more than ever. So there's a great passage. This is actually from a 1934 Unity booklet. The fact that timeless wisdom, we would call this. And this booklet was called The Power of Stillness. And in it, A.B. Simpson writes this. There is in the swiftest wheel that revolves upon its axis a place in the very center where there is no movement at all. So in the busiest life, there may be a place where we dwell alone with God in eternal stillness. This is the only way to know God, to be still and know that I am God. When we commune with God in this way, whether it's in a minute or whether it's an hour or whatever it is, as we turn our attention to this higher realm, it shifts our energy, it raises our vibration, and it broadens our perspective. And that benefits not only us, but everyone around us. Isn't it so true? When someone's in that great high vibration, you feel it when you're around them, just as I imagine Jesus' disciples always did in his presence. And why is this so? Because we are all interconnected. We are connected with one another. We are connected with the entire universe. And the sages through the ages have always told us this, that there is this underlying unity to all of life. And today, scientists confirm it. Quantum physicists tell us that even on the subatomic level, it's all about interactions and relationships. One thing affecting another. And even atoms are not really things. They are merely probabilities of various interconnections. This is sort of mind-blowing, isn't it? That really everything is teeming with energy and everything is interconnected so that one movement, one vibration affects others. And that has huge implications for prayer. As the Ellsworth write in their book, if the energy of every living thing is somehow interconnected, then every thought we think can have an impact. A sick individual's recovery would be impacted by prayer. And it is. Seed growth would be affected by prayer. And it is. Dogs could respond to their master's thoughts from a distance, and they do. Because this interconnection is subtle, however, it reveals itself best to those who are open to this possibility, willing to observe carefully and verify personally. We don't exist in a vacuum. Everything is connected. So what is happening within us affects what is happening around us. And this is one clear way in which prayer not only changes us, but it changes our world. Is it not true? But that's not meant to be the only way. Prayer is just the first step. It's not meant to be the only step. In Unity's fifth principle says it's not enough to know the truth. We must act on it. We must go forward and, as we say, put feet under our prayers. There's a story about a man who once stood before God, and this man had such a broken heart. His heart was broken over all of the suffering and injustice in the world. And he said, Dear God, there is so much pain and anguish and distress. Why don't you do something? And God said, I did. I sent you. You see, we are the hands, the feet, the voice, the heart, the love of God in expression. You see, prayer was never meant to be a substitute for action, but a catalyst for it. In Unity, we say, let us put feet under our prayers, but it probably stems from this wonderful African proverb that said this, when you pray, move your feet. When you pray, move your feet, which means do your part. let your prayer guidance inform your actions. Along the lines of Mahatma Gandhi saying, be the change you wish to see in the world. This beautiful, powerful concept, beautiful proverb, pray and move your feet, was one of the favorites of the late congressman and civil rights leader, John Lewis. What an incredibly inspiring example of being the change you wish to see in the world. And he not only liked to quote this proverb, but he lived it. And the Christian Science Monitor in July was kind of writing about him and reviewing his life, and it said this: Mr. Lewis did move his feet, whether marching from Selma to Montgomery, plying the back roads of the Deep South in a voter registration drive, or striding the mile and a half to his own victory celebration following his election to the U.S. Congress. Mr. Lewis walked the walk. Shoulder to shoulder with people of various colors, classes, and creeds, he counted no one his enemy, not even his attackers. Far beyond advocating tolerance of others, even beyond urging respect, Mr. Lewis practiced a love that recognizes the spark of the divine in each of us. Move your feet. It's a two-step process. First, we pray to lift our consciousness. Then we move our feet to create positive change. As philosopher and author Sir Thomas More said, there's a great quote, "The things, good Lord, that we pray for, give us the grace to labor for." So what does that mean in our personal lives? That means doing our prayer work to get centered, to realize our oneness with God, and to feel that infusion of power and presence within us, and then take action to address whatever challenges we're facing in our lives, whether it has to do with our health, or our finances, our relationships, or our own inner peace. And in our public lives, it means tuning into prayer and then moving our feet to take action to ensure justice and equality and true democracy. My gosh, how much these efforts are needed right now. You know, America, it is said in so many ways, is at a turning point, and quite honestly, it may be a breaking point. This is the time more than any that we must lift our consciousness to be the highest expression of the divine that we can possibly be, to be the Christ in expression, and then allow that to inform our actions as we go forward to make this a better world. Now, how do we do that? How do we take action in today's climate? Well, there's so many possibilities, and the first one is register to vote. If you haven't already, in Virginia you have until Tuesday, and then make a plan and vote. This election is a critical one. Vote. And once you've figured it out for yourself, then help others access their democratic right to vote as well. You can come to one of the phone banking events we're going to have here at Unity Renaissance. Very excited about that. You can also be calling people in other states. Richard and I did that for, I don't know, an hour and a half the other day, calling voters just to let them know, here's how you register, here's how you vote, here are the options available to you. It felt so good to do that. We can also speak up for racial justice. And we can do our work, particularly as white folks, to wake up, to become more evolved, become better people, and to realize the ways in which we unknowingly have been complicit in racial injustice. And we can be a part of programs and events that advance the cause of peace, that are all about partnerships, that lift us up. Together, my friends, I believe this with all my heart. We can and will be catalysts for the greatest healing and unification this country has ever experienced. Let's do our part. Let's pray and move our feet. I invite you to turn now to this time of meditation. closing your eyes, breathing in deeply. Release and let it go. And truly do let go of any random concepts, of any feelings. Just release, release. Breathing into the still center within you. The very center of that wheel of you. Where there is perfect peace and utter stillness. Allow yourself to sink ever more deeply into this sacred place, the place of communion with God, as we deconstruct this beautiful prayer. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I. Be still and know that. Still and know. Be still and be. This is our sacred place within, a place that we can visit anytime. We give thanks to our way shower for showing us the way, for reminding us of this truth, pointing us in the direction of this immense love and power and presence within us. For this life journey, for our shared spiritual awakening, we say thank you, God. And so